hot take. Let's get it. Shay, this one's for you. The Chiefs and defensive tackle Chris Jones have agreed to a 5-year, $95.3 million guaranteed. We know that's the key with NFL contracts deal. Shannon, how important was re-signing Jones for KC?
He was the most important thing that the Kansas City Chiefs needed to address this offseason. He's the guy that when you come into an offensive meeting room, he's the guy that circle. Because he's the guy that if you don't block him, we can't win the game. He's very disruptive. He can play the run. He's tremendous. He's the premier defensive tackle. He's one of the top three defensive players in all of football. And he earned this because he took a pay cut last year to come back. And now they're rewarding him for his hard work. He's been an all-pro for, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last 3 years. He's the guy. They had to get this guy back into the fold. And now, don't look at the three-peat.
That's what I was going to say, going for that three-peat, right, Shannon? All right, I got another quick take. Dan Orlovsky, you got me?
Yep.
Buffs signed Baker Mayfield to a 3-year, $100 million deal. Let's go to stay in Tampa. Dan, talk to me. Right move for the Bucs to make, $100 million.
Oh, for sure. And such a great story. One of the best in the NFL. This doesn't happen, Molly. Like, Baker Mayfield was supposed to be a backup at this point, the number one pick, and he's cast away from Cleveland and multiple stops and, you know, bets on himself and the Bucs do to rewrite the book of his or story of his career, and he does so. And think about it. They're the division favorites right now with a lot of unknown, with Mike Evans re-signed and Chris Godwin there and their young tight end Kate Otten and Rashad White. Like, this is a very solid football team, and the fact that Baker Mayfield went, bet on himself, and earned that contract, I honestly believe one of the better stories in the NFL offseason.
Absolutely. Quite the resurgence. Tom Brady had one there, too, and Tampa, good city to be in. All right, Russell Wilson on the move, planning to sign a 1-year contract with the Steelers. Sources telling ESPN the team-friendly deal will cost Pittsburgh, get ready for this, $1.2 million, while the Broncos will pay the rest of Wilson's $37.8 million salary. Russ joins 2022 first-round pick Kenny Pickett as the only other quarterbacks currently under contract. Mason Rudolph will be moved. Russell Wilson joins a division loaded with quarterback talent. Lamar Jackson, obviously the reigning MVP, while Joe Burrow already made a trip to the Super Bowl, obviously wasn't healthy this season. And the Browns have Deshaun Watson, who only started 6 games for them last year, but Cleveland still won 11 games under Joe Flacco. All right, S.A., you're up first. This is your team. You follow them closely. Do you feel like your Steelers are legit contenders in a very tough AFC North with Russell Wilson at the helm?
Yes. And it's really not about Russell Wilson. It's about the Steelers collectively and what's transpiring around them. We watched Miami fade as the season progressed, and we knew that they were, allergic to inclement weather, and they weren't going to do anything outside of South Beach. We saw Buffalo come on strong with Josh Allen, but we've seen what's been transpiring in this offseason. We have to wonder about the future of Stephon Diggs in Buffalo, by the way. Expect that to become a subject that percolates in the days to come, in my humble opinion. We look at the health of Joe Burrow. That's not guaranteed. We looked at Baltimore and what happened in the AFC Championship game. There's question marks there. There's a question mark with Deshaun Watson in Cleveland and whether or not he will ever return to the days of old. We know what Patrick Mahomes is and what he brings to the table. We believe in Jim Harbaugh and, of course, Justin Herbert, but we still have to see it. When I take those things into consideration and I look at a Steelers defense that's basically lugged their team to the playoffs, okay? And I say to myself, if you can give me any efficiency offensively, let's call it what it is, guys. It can't get worse. It can't get much worse. 25 touchdowns in two seasons. 25 touchdown passes in 2 seasons. That's what the Steelers have had going on. But last time I checked, Najee Harris could ball. This kid Warren out of the backfield, he's elusive. He can ball. Pickens is all world. This brother could do some things. If you're not going to keep Deontay Johnson, I have no reason, looking at the Steelers' history, to believe they're not going to make up for any potential loss at the wide receiver spot. Because the one thing they seem to pluck, I don't know how they do it, but every single year they've got all-world wide receivers. They just find it. Freiermuth is a bad boy at the tight end spot. He's no scrub. And the offensive line is not shabby. It needs to improve, but it's not shabby. So I'm looking at the Steelers, and the question mark about the Steelers was your quarterback play. And I'm going to go to D.O. and what D.O. has said, Shannon. When you look at a Russell Wilson, 13 interceptions is the most he has thrown in any season in his career, and he only did that once. Two or three other times he threw 11 interceptions. Every other year it's been less. He doesn't turn the ball over. Yes, right. He's a bit reluctant and hesitant to throw between the numbers, throw it down the middle of the field. I get that. That annoys coaches. We've heard people complain about that. But when I look at the Steelers' defense and the offensive weapons that they have and how it comes down to a quarterback who, by the way, is experienced, a Super Bowl champion, a 9-time Pro Bowl, who's got a lot to prove, Shannon, because as a leader – and as somebody who's willing to return to reminding folks, he know what it is to be a team leader and a team player. He's got some things to prove as well. I like the Steelers. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I like their chances in terms of being a competitor. I give them that. I'll give them that much.
Yeah, I also caught on to that little almost potential Buffalo bomb you just kind of hinted at, Steve, and I got no reason to doubt you either. So I picked up on that one. I think they're legit. And that's the, like, for me, that's the difference. Yesterday morning, they weren't. They were not legitimate division contenders. They are now. And if we compare Pittsburgh in comparison to the division rivals, you know, Pittsburgh has got a really solid defense that mostly everybody is going to come back, and they got some nice young pieces. Their offensive line started to really play well in the run game and much improved in the pass protection game. They got people they could throw the football to downfield, mainly George Pickens. And so I look at the offense talent-wise, I go there. Then I go Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator. Why did it fail in Atlanta? One, quarterback threw too many interceptions. Two, they had no speed on the outside. Not an issue for both Russell Wilson and Pittsburgh. So I like the marriage between Russell Wilson, the talent already there, and the play caller on top of the defense. I love Baltimore. Are they going to keep Patrick Queen? They had the best duo of inside linebackers in football last year. Can they keep Patrick Queen, or is he going to go to Seattle? Can they keep Geno Stone, who is a big part of their football team, or is he going to go to Seattle? So Baltimore's got some questions. Baltimore doesn't have a ton of answers at tailback right now either. Dobbins and Mitchell are going to be coming off of injuries. Right. OBJ is not under contract. So, like, Baltimore has some questions. Cincinnati, I just watched you guys do the segment on T. Higgins. That's a massive loss if he doesn't play for the Bengals. If the Bengals had the best trio in sports. You know that, Shannon, wide receiver-wise. Both T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd could be gone. That changes the Bengals. And they're a very young football team. Cleveland, we'll see. So I just, you know, this was a division that I would have thought, well, the Steelers got a shot. Maybe it's the third or fourth best shot, and it's a long one. Now with Russell Wilson, if he plays the way that he has for a couple of years, yeah, it's legitimate. Absolutely.
They are. Cleveland's going to be better. They just made the trade for Jerry Jeudy. Mark Cooper had one of his better seasons. They still have Njoku. The question remains about Cleveland. How soon and how close will Deshaun Watson get to the last time we saw Deshaun Watson in Houston when he played a full season and he led the NFL in passing yards? Can he get back to that, or can he get close to that? Hey, Baltimore, all those people that you name, all that goes away if they sign Saquon. Can you imagine you put Saquon Barkley in that offense with Lamar Jackson, with the receivers, with Bateman and the young kid they just got, and you got Lively, you got Andrews coming back. Offensive line is solid. Yeah, they're probably going to lose Queen. You can't pay two linebackers $20 million. And you got Marlon Humphrey on one side making 18. You got an $18, $19 million cap hit. So you understand that when you become good, people start to raid your hen house because you got very good chickens over there. So we understand that there's going to be some loss. But if they can get a Saquon and plug him at running back, can you imagine? Or they get a Derrick Henry, put him at running back. Can you imagine? Now when you play fake, and Lamar Jackson have those guys running scot-free? Woo! You're right. My concerns with Cincinnati is always the health of Joe Burrow.
Sure.
He met D.O. Yeah. And this, hey, it is what it is. But can you assure me that he's going to play all 17?
Are you right?
Well, you can't assure anybody that in football.
I mean, for the last three, four years, he's missed, seven games. He's missed 8-9 games. It's hard to bank on that. But Russ does make them better. Yes, Russ is better than anything that Pittsburgh has had since Roethlisberger. We get that.
Sure.
The question is, can he get close to what he once was in Seattle? Forget, take Denver away. Because at no point in time was his career in Denver comparable to what he was in Seattle. Can he get back to what he was? Stephen A., can he get back to close? even if he can't come all the way back. Because Russ used to be in the MVP discussion.
My point is this. Here's the bottom line. The questions that you brought out about everybody else is what also helps the Steelers be a legitimate contender in the North. Because everybody else got questions. I mean, you know, it's like it's
I ain't got no question about Lamar.
Excuse me?
I want to hear that one. Hold on. I want to hear that one again.
I ain't got no question about Lamar.
Why would you not? Why would you not?
I want you to. I want to remind you that in September and October next year.
No. Remind me of that in January. Don't remind me about anything in September, October, November, December. Remind me about that in January.
Okay.
January
is good enough for
January.
Me. January is good enough for me.
Don't tell me. Hey, Stephen A. Hey, D.O., don't tell me about eggs in February and March. Tell me about them in April. That's when it's Easter. That's when eggs are important. Eggs are not really important in any other time of the year other than Easter. Talk to me then.
I love eggs.
Well, actually, I love eggs. Eggs are important all year long. I don't know what you're talking about, Shannon.
Try to get an egg and eggs.
Shannon, what do you have? Egg whites? Like, what's your deal? You don't eat eggs? All that muscle? Come on, get out of here. You know you're
lying. Yeah, I eat eggs, but I'm just saying. I tell you what, let there be a shortage of eggs come Easter, and you're going to see a lot of disappointed kids. They ain't got nothing to hunt. They ain't got anything to look for, Stephen A. See, y'all see, Stephen A., you in the city. You from Queens. Y'all didn't have no Easter egg hunt. Dan, you from Connecticut. Y'all ain't have no Easter egg.
First of all, my mom ran the whole church program. I had plenty of Easter eggs. We don't have the Easter Bunny in Connecticut.
Molly, I'm telling myself based on what Shannon just brought up. I'm gonna tell myself a little quick story, y'all. Because the last time I got my ass whipped by my mama, God rest her soul. It was Easter. And, you know, during Easter time, we throwing eggs and all of this stuff. You know, we end up knocking people upside the head and stuff like that when I was younger. And I threw one way up and I threw it and it came down. And I thought the little kids were around. My mom was coming home from work and got out the car and it landed right on the head. And I said, oh, my Lord. And I was an ass whipping I got right there. I mean, and I deserved it. That's the last time I threw an egg.
How old were you?
The last time I did.
Knucklehead.
Huh? How old were you?
I was 13.
Yeah, probably 25. Don't worry.
I was 13.
Hey, Stephen A., Molly and Dan, it's not the same thing. Cadbury eggs don't count. Y'all hunting chocolate covered eggs. That ain't what we talking about.
Know what Shannon be talking about, man. Shannon be coming up with some stuff, man.
That's what they be hunting. Them Cadbury, the Easter Bunny eggs.
Go ahead, y'all.
What kind of egg were you getting? Do I have to go to break or can I hear? All right, coming up.
Got the Easter Bunny in Connecticut.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
It is impossible to say my favorite women's sports moment. I have been part of so many, covered so many, but I'm going to go with Morgan William from Mississippi State rising up to hit a shot to beat UConn. They had a 100-plus game win streak, and this little tiny 5'3 player from Mississippi State rises up. And I remember in our post-game interview, I asked her, what did you see when you rose up to take that shot? And she said, opportunity. And I just remember crumbling and crying and just thinking how special it was for this young woman, the tiniest player on the floor, to hit the biggest shot in the biggest moment and knock off mighty UConn.
Really, Holly, of all the moments, you had to do that one on First Take. Shannon, who are the only women to win the Naismith College Player of the Year award three times? Why don't you give this a shot?
Well, my first guess would be Breonna Stewart, because she did win four national championships. So I would like to think that three of those, her last 3 years, she probably won that award. And then many, before Caitlin Clark came along and Deonna Taurasi and Maya Moore, many believe she was the greatest college women's basketball player, and that's Cheryl Miller. So if I had to guess, I would say Cheryl Miller and Breonna Stewart.
Okay. You nailed it, Shannon. Look at you, big time. Okay. I'm impressed. I am impressed.
I was going to say Cheryl Miller, but I wouldn't.
Ralph Sampson also had three on the men's side, Molly.
I wasn't going to guess Breonna Stewart.
Okay. Good stuff. Look at you, Shay.
Stephen,
no one-trick pony, Shannon.
They call you boy Almanac. Shannon Almanac Sharp.
Do they? I've never heard anyone. Who came up with that nickname? Was that you, Shannon?
Opening day.
Stephen Naismith and Shannon Almanac, my goodness. Opening day in the National Women's Soccer League Saturday, speaking of women's sports, with the Kansas City Current taking on the Portland Thorns. That's at 1 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Plus. Coverage beginning at 12:30. All right, let's get into the NBA, fellas. Here's the deal. Giannis and Dame Lillard became the first pair of teammates to each have 20 points, 10 assists in consecutive games in NBA history, leading the Bucks to a win over the Clippers. Meanwhile, the Clippers sat both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George for a rest following a Saturday game. Ty Lue isn't happy with how the schedule shook out for his L.A. squad.
Ty, I realize this was signed off way above your pay grade, but the idea of two tip-offs within a 22-hour window, isn't that extreme?
Very extreme. But, you know, that's why we were just so excited to get into the Intuit Dome next year and get our own place, and we can make our own schedule and it'd be a little better, you know. And so over the last 3 or 4 years, I think we have 32 games that tip off before 2 o'clock our time, and the next close team is 14. So you do the math.
Yeah, tell him. You do the math, Kendrick Perkins. There he is, my guy, Big Perk, gracing your screen. Perk, it's always good to see you, sir. I want you to dive in here first. Do you agree with Ty Lue on the Clip schedule?
Hell yeah, especially when you're talking about yesterday. We're a month away from the postseason right now. And right now, they put Ty Lue in the position as a coach and said, you know what, put this brown paper bag over your head and go out there and be a Uber driver. No direction and don't know what's going to happen, meaning you're on the crash dummy mission. As a coach, when you're talking about coaching two guys with the injury history that they have in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, one guy played 38 minutes, the other played 40 last night. In less than 24 hours, you come back to the arena to play against the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I would have did the same thing T. Lue did and set him down. I mean, he is right, and he has every reason to complain. T. Lue is not the one to complain about nothing to the refs, about what's going on to the league, anything to that nature. So at the end of the day, T. Lue has a point about the schedule when it comes down to the Los Angeles Clippers.
Go ahead, Shannon.
Yeah. Now, had LeBron said that, whoa, Stephen A., Perk, Kobe never complained about the schedule. Michael Jordan never complained about the schedule. Tim Duncan never complained about the schedule. Hey, Perk, you said, oh, T. Lue don't never complain about anything. T. Lue don't do this. There's a lot of people in Pelican Bay for a first time. So all I know is that he complained yesterday. I don't know what he did before yesterday. I know what he did yesterday. And you always yapping him. Oh, this one and that one. Let that have been the Lakers. Let Anthony Davis have said that. Let LeBron have said that. You'd have been up there. You'd have been standing up. What you complaining about? Had you not lost all the games early, you wouldn't have been in this position. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear it. Stop complaining. Do the task.
Shannon, you're wrong. You're wrong on this one. And I'm going to tell you why. First of all, we would have complained. if LeBron James had two games inside of 22 hours.
No, you wouldn't.
Hours.
Not LeBron.
Yes, we would.
Oh, you ain't never complained
yes,
to his behalf.
Yes, we would have. We've come to LeBron's defense on many occasions, contrary to what you want to believe. That's number one. Two games in 22 hours, that's a bit extreme. And more importantly, forget LeBron and the Lakers. Forget what others would not have complained about, Shannon. Let's be fair here. Ty Lue was talking about you get into your own arena, you have a schedule. You don't have to capitulate to the big brothers in the house that you're sharing the same arena with. That factored into things scheduling-wise.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, but the point is, it makes a valid point. Obviously, it's not going to be a concern for them next season and beyond because they'll have their own arena. But to have a game the night before, the day before, and then to have another game, you know, at noon or whatever, it's like, come on, y'all. Two games inside of 24 hours, that is extreme. You don't see that very often. The schedule makers
it
had
is.
To do it, but
he,
you don't
it
see
is
it.
Extreme.
But that don't make him wrong, Shannon.
But stop complaining.
Ty Lue is right. You
it
know
It don't
that.
Make him right either.
Let me ask you, hold on. Let me ask you a question, Shannon. You're familiar with workload, right? You're familiar with workload.
Yeah.
So you're telling me, your star players, your franchise guys who have an injury history, okay? The history that they have for as Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Paul George just got back a week ago, right, for a sore knee. And you're telling me that if you're the head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers, that you're okay with playing the Chicago Bulls in less than 24 hours or early game, you're going to suit those two guys up with the playoffs a month away from the playoffs. You're telling me that right now.
Unfortunately, Perk, you're talking to a guy that played 14 years in the NFL, and we play Monday, Thursday with that physicality. So I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, Perk. I'm not here to say I disagree with you, but I'm just saying I know what would have been said. And Stephen A. talking about he defends LeBron James. This is how Stephen A. defends LeBron James. He's a defense attorney, and he hands over a secret tape to the prosecution.
Oh, stop it.
That's how he defends LeBron.
That's a lie. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's blasphemous. That's blasphemous right there. Oh, I can't believe you said that. That is a lie. What incriminating. I mean, the judge would call us back in the chambers over that one. That is unbelievable. That is uncalled for. Oh, that's a lie. That is a flat-out lie. A hand over a tape to the prosecution. Shannon's her nose, man. Go ahead, Kurt. That is blasphemy.
You see what I be talking about when it comes to Shannon? See, after the All-Star break, I didn't hear a word out of him. When LeBron James rested for 4 days, took off on a national televised game against Golden State, and backdoored and played, I believe it was against the Portland Trailblazers, the San Antonio Spurs the next night. And I'm sitting up here saying, well, damn, you had three and a half days off. How did you not play against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, a team that you're battling against? And
the
Golden State, you suit up the next night. But I didn't hear nothing from you that time.
Perk, you and LeBron the same age. You expect a man to play every night, okay. Every minute?
I'm not talking about you want LeBron.
How long has Paul George been in the NBA? How long has Kawhi been in the NBA?
And how many years they've been injured, Shannon? I'm asking.
Hey, Stephen A. Hey, you got your phone on you, Stephen A.
I'm right here. I'm listening.
I want you to call somebody to care how many years they've been injured. That ain't got nothing to do with us. I'm talking about Goat James. See, Perk, there you go making excuses. Now you want to talk about LeBron had a break after the All-Star game, missed the game coming out of the break, but played against Portland. You see what you did? Paul George played the All-Star game.
What are you talking about? He's been injured.
LeBron is in year 21. If LeBron took half the season off, Perk, if LeBron took three-quarters of the season off, you shouldn't say a word.
How did we get to this point where we're talking about LeBron James and we're talking about the Clippers in their scheduling?
What I'm trying
to show America is the bias that you and somebody else, I ain't gonna call his name, S-A-S.
What you mean?
Towards the GOAT. That's what I'm trying to show America.
Unbelievable.
Is that when he says anything, Jordan wouldn't have said a word. Kobe wouldn't have said a word. Perk, sometimes I catch a sneak diss or two. But stay over there.
You know what's crazy?
Come back to the Lakers. You over there with the Clippers.
Tell me, you just hopped on this LeBron train. I've been on this train since 2001. You forgot. Now, let me go take you in history. Me and LeBron played together. Me and LeBron was in the Mickey D's class. So when it comes to being an advocate for LeBron James, you just joined the family reunion. You just got you a side of the
table. I can't tell.
Well, guess what, Perk? Nothing about advocating for LeBron.
Perk, something's wrong with your microphone, so let me chime in here and say this. I ain't trying to join the LeBron James train. You right about that. I'm standing where
you
I'm standing. But
anyway.
That doesn't mean I'm giving evidence to the prosecution. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that shit, because I am a fair-minded person that's going to do it right. But I ain't jumping on no damn train. So that is the truth, all right? Ty Lue is right, and at the end of the day, Shannon can go up the block around the corner, through the hood, and the whole nine. You still coming back to the fact that Ty Lue is right with what he said. No NBA team needs to be having two games in 22 hours. That does not need to be happening.
I'm not.
Period.
Stephen A., you're right. That was a bit much, especially having noon games on the West Coast. You're absolutely right. But I'm just saying, had a certain party said that,
we would have came to his defense on that.
We'd have been up and
on. We would have came to his defense on that. Two games in 22 hours. We would have defended LeBron. Oh, please. Shannon said nothing, man.
Nope.
He said nothing. I'm trying to tell you. When's the next time you get to a Lakers game, bro? I mean, I don't know. You say Saturday, but you're busy, so you might not make it.
I'm willing to bet you won't make it. I'm willing to bet you don't make the game. I'm willing to bet you don't make the game.
Something gonna come up, Perk. He ain't gonna be able to make the game because he don't believe. It's all fame. Y'all fading.
Right. Perk, you got the last word, then I'm going to break.
Y'all be hating.
I just said, Nightcap was a real nightcap because he tricked me this morning.
We'll leave it on that. When we come back here on First Take.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for a quick take. Anthony Joshua handed a devastating knockout to former UFC heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou. Look at that. Round two of their bout Friday night. Stephen A., were you shocked by this?
I was shocked about the fashion in which it happened. Francis Ngannou obviously is a terror in the UFC. He was knocking people senseless in the boxing ring. He went the distance with Tyson Fury and floored him. I expected him to lose. As Shannon and I were talking during the break, he said at best there's levels to this. And I knew he wasn't the boxer that Anthony Joshua was, but I didn't expect Anthony Joshua, who was 20 pounds lighter, to literally put him to sleep. I mean, he put him to sleep. Francis Ngannou was knocked out cold. And I said, oh my goodness. I couldn't believe he was destroyed like that. It took me about 24 hours to recover from that, Shannon, and ain't nobody hit me. That's how bad he got laid out. Having said that, here's what I love about it, Shannon. I love that Anthony Joshua won in this fashion compared to Tyson Fury getting dropped by Ngannou and then winning by decision, because that is a fight that's years in the making. Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. We didn't get it primarily, in some circles at least, because Deontay Wilder had sued and pressed Tyson Fury for that trilogy that he ultimately lost to Fury. And Anthony Joshua blew it when he lost against Ruiz. Okay, but in the end, now that this has happened, it's the perfect time for that heavyweight matchup between Fury and Joshua to take place after that level of destruction. And I think we all would want to see that, and it would be great for boxing.
The worst thing to happen for Francis Ngannou is that Tyson Fury did not take the fight serious. He came in out of shape, overweight, and he got knocked down. So now that made Anthony Joshua take Francis Ngannou serious. And so now in the process of taking Ngannou serious, he came in and approached it, and you see the levels to this. You see the feint, and then make Ngannou raise his level and then catch him solid and his lights out. And you mentioned a 252 to a 272, but yep. That is a ginormous man, 252 pounds.
That's right.
They call them super heavyweights now. You have to understand, Ali was 205, 210. The heavyweight used to weigh under 220. Now you start getting these guys 260, 250, the Riddick Bowe. Mm-hmm. And those guys like that, that's
Lewis.
a large man that packs, that knows how to throw a punch. Anthony Joshua, he has knockout power. Now,
yes,
his chin is a little suspect. I would not take Anthony Joshua to beat Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is a boxer, an elite-level boxer. Anthony Joshua is a puncher.
Well,
I would not take Joshua to beat Tyson Fury.
Let me say this to you. Fair enough, and I'm with you. But Anthony Joshua is a better boxer than Deontay Wilder. He doesn't have Deontay Wilder's power. He doesn't have Deontay Wilder's nuclear power in that right hand, but he does have knockout power, and he's a better boxer. We saw him beat Klitschko years ago. We know what Anthony Joshua could do. I think it would be a better fight than most people realize. Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. I will say this. I used to think Wilder would take Anthony Joshua out because of that right hand. Now I think the only shot Wilder would have is the right hand, because I think Anthony Joshua is a better boxer, and obviously he's got enough power to potentially hurt and take out Wilder. And I think Wilder made the mistake going to your weight. He was once at 212. He came up to 231 to fight Fury. Fury still was at like 278. So you did too much, and the punishment you absorbed, I don't wish this on Wilder because I love him, but I think a lot was taken out of him in that third Fury fight, and I don't know if he'll ever be the same. And because of that, I'm looking at Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury as the heavyweight fight we should all want to see.
For the most part, the only chance that he had was that right hand. Because, like you said, he's not a boxer. He's not skilled. Most of these guys came up in AAU, fought at the Olympic level and the Golden Glove. And you look at guys like Lennox Lewis, big guy, 6'5", 6'6", 250, that skilled, that can box, but still have knockout power. I mean, that was routine. He fainted with the left, the jab, to measure him, and boom, that was it. Most guys, you're not going to hit most heavyweights with that punch because they're going to see it coming.
Right.
But because Francis Ngannou is not a boxer, Right. And he probably started to get fatigued because you know what?
Fatigued? It was the second
the
round.
The more muscle you got, the more oxygen it requires to fuel your body. So
well,
the
you would
more
know that better
the quicker
than me.
You're going to get fatigued.
Better than all of us.
You would know that better than me. But it was the second round. It was
Stephen
the second
A, do
round.
Do you feel like this is going to give UFC fighters pause?
It should.
Crossover?
Molly,
is it
Molly.
It's a different deal.
It should. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to say this again. Anthony got stunned and get up and wobbled. And Ngannou was put to sleep. I mean, to sleep. Like, night-night. Bye-bye. He was out.
Stephen A., let me tell you why it's not. Because Conor McGregor went 10 rounds and made $100 million. Francis Ngannou had fought almost 20 fights, made $4 million. He fought two boxing. He was in the ring twice and made $30 million. Yep. Why would that deter me?
That's true. And then he said, Molly, he didn't even fit. They asked him about being knocked out. How much did a punch hurt? He said it didn't hurt at all. He said,
Cannon,
I was knocked out. I didn't feel
Cannon,
anything.
What would be the price? What would be the number for you to take a beating? Like, would it have to be $1 billion?
Oh, no.
Like, where would you be? Is there any price?
No. I got
no
I'm
number.
Like Stephen A., I got my last ass cut in about 13.2. My grandma gave it to him. I said, I ain't taking no more of him.
I'm cool. That's right.
There's no number. Stephen A., no number. What if it was like $500 million and you just got like knocked out on national TV?
Honestly speaking, it's a very cocky thing to say, but I'm going to say it. I wouldn't do it, Molly, because I believe I'm going to make that much money in my career when all is said and done.
Okay, fair enough. Bet on yourself.
So I ain't going
to see what that
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The future remains uncertain for many quarterbacks this offseason, including current Vikings vet Kirk Cousins and Bears quarterback Justin Fields. Cousins, coming off just an 8-game season and tore his Achilles in week 8, while Fields, who also battled injury last season, had 13 turnovers in 13 games. So with that being said, SA, you up first here. Dan Orlovsky back here with us as well. Would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Justin Fields on your team?
Who's that question for?
Stephen I
didn't
A.
hear.
Smith.
Oh, it would be Justin Fields. Last time I checked, Kirk Cousins, isn't he coming off an Achilles injury? Is that me? Am I making that up?
No.
All right. Well, guess what? I don't know how healthy he's going to be for this upcoming season. Why would I pick Kirk Cousins, who I don't know if he'll even be healthy enough to really, really go ahead of a Justin Fields, who everybody's been telling me he's really, really improved, and Eberflus and them took a while to get things going, and there's a lot of things that they've got to do in Chicago, but his development and his growth is coming along nicely. Now, obviously, Caleb Williams can ball, and he can really, really play, and you've got the number one overall pick, so it's just a question of the money because of the market value that comes associated with Justin Fields. 6 years at approximately $282 million. He might not be worth that, but Stephen A., I mean, my goodness, this guy is really showing a lot of potential. Well, why would I pass on that for a dude coming off an Achilles tear? Now, if this was the 2025 season we were talking about, you got me. But we're talking 2024, as in the next few months, after the spring and summer expires and the NFL season for 2024 takes shape. Why would I pick Kirk Cousins over Justin Fields, and I don't know how healthy he's going to be? I'm going to roll with the young thoroughbred, especially if I got a coach and an offensive coordinator with some weapons around him that I think can be utilized effectively. I'm going to roll with the young blood.
There's no way.
Why not?
Because he's not a better player.
He's not a better player than a healthy Kirk Cousins. What about the one coming back from the Achilles?
I'm not a doctor, but I would imagine he'll be healthy. I mean, the reality is Kirk Cousins is a true pocket passer, so the only way you're good in the NFL as a true pocket passer right now is that you have to be wildly obsessed with details. And I would imagine he's like that with his rehab and attacking it in that capacity. So I'm banking on his health being relatively what it was in this past year. Stephen A's coming off the best year of his career. I mean, he was playing at an MVP level, Kirk. You know,
please. I mean, I know you're right. I'm not refuting that you're wrong. I'm just saying regular season. We all know there's a difference between playoffs and regular season. Don't get me started with that. Don't start with me this morning, D.O. Don't start with me.
But then you put me in a bad spot because Justin Fields has been in the playoffs. So
No, he hasn't.
So we can't knock Kirk Cousins for what your perceived lack of playoff performance is when the other guy in the conversation isn't there. Kirk Cousins got the third most touchdowns in the NFL since 2018, Stephen A. Outside of Patrick Mahomes and, ironically, Russell Wilson. So, it's not close right now.
Right.
Go ahead, Shane.
Stephen A, you said you don't know if Cousins is going to be healthy. Hell, Aaron Rodgers was going to come back off an Achilles injury in 2 weeks. I like to think Kirk Cousins is going to be healthy in 10 months.
Yeah. Yeah, Stephen, you got on this one, Aaron Rodgers.
He had surgery on a Monday, and he was out there throwing on a Tuesday. I'm coming back. I'm going to come back. I say that tongue-in-cheek, but in all sincerity, give me Cousins. Now, here's the thing, but you said you made a very interesting point. You said, well, give Justin Fields this, give Justin Fields that. You tell me where? Minnesota? Cousins. If you put him in Atlanta, I would rather have Justin Fields in Atlanta. But if you say who's the better player, I mean, that's not even close. I mean, Kirk Cousins currently is a better player than Justin Fields.
But I never said that Justin Fields was better than Kirk Cousins. I pointed out that Kirk Cousins is coming off an injury. We don't know how ready he is going to be, and everybody's been talking about the situation that Justin Fields has been in, and wherever he goes will likely be a better situation than the one he's departing from, assuming Chicago does what we all think they're going to do in moving him out of there, so they're going to draft Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. I'm looking at it from that standpoint. I'm saying, let's take, for example, hypothetically, because we know that Russell Wilson is going to Pittsburgh and not Justin Fields. Let's say, for example, Justin Fields was in Pittsburgh, okay? Right. We know with his wheels, he can extend plays. We know that you got Pickens. We know that you got Freiermuth. We know that you got Harris and Warren in the backfield. So I'm looking at it from the standpoint of having weapons around you with better coaching. You got Arthur Smith there as an offensive coordinator, and there were a lot of people that were speculating, you all included, about what Justin Fields could potentially mean to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm saying you look at a situation like that in terms of surrounding him around the right personnel, then there's a lot to look forward to in terms of his upside and his potential down the line. Whereas with Kirk Cousins, you coming off an injury, I don't know what to expect from you. I don't.
I think we could go to the bank with what Kirk Cousins is going to be. Go ahead, Shannon.
I think Cousins, because of his style of play, will be less impacted because he's not mobile to begin with. And so that's what helped Dan Marino when Danny had his Achilles tear. Because he wasn't reliant on his legs, he was less impacted, say, by someone that's mobile and more reliant on their legs. But I say this, in five fewer games, Kirk Cousins had 230 fewer yards, two more touchdowns, and four fewer interceptions. Now, that's what Cousins did in 8 games compared to Fields in 13 games.
Look, it's Stephen A. He's going to say.
I'm not Benjamin Banneker. I don't know.
Shannon Shaw? Don't let me come down there because you write down a hole for me. Don't let me come down there and scream on you in your face. Did you just mention Kirk Cousins in the same sentence as Dan Marino?
I locked the door.
Is that what you did?
I knew
is that
it,
what you
man.
Did?
But I'm saying no. What I'm saying is because guys thought Danny was a pocket passer. Had Dan been reliant on his legs, now that Achilles injury would have impacted him more than a pocket passer. No, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying the style of play. Both had Achilles injury. Listen, nobody's ever going to mistake Kirk Cousins for Danny. We know that, but I'm just saying the similarities with the injuries and the similarities in the style of play. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to compare the two far as career-wise, talent-wise. No, I'm foolish.
I just needed to make sure, because Shannon will say some wild stuff sometimes. I just need to make sure that wasn't wild.
No.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
All right.
Shannon, how come you never call me Danny? You always call me D.O., but you call Marino Danny.
You haven't earned it. You haven't earned it.
Okay, I just checked.
You haven't earned it. Be satisfied with Danny D.O.
You're not old enough to remember. Stephen A., you remember Hawaii 5-0 when he used to say, book him, Danny. Booking Dano. That's why we call. So we call him Danny. We call him Dano. So you get Dio. Be happy.
Be happy with Dio. It's got flavor with it. Dan Orlovsky does it, but Dio, that's flavor. That's flavor. You should hold on to
that,
Dio. You should hold on to that. We giving you flavor, baby. I mean, hey, you know what I'm saying? Hold on to it. Go ahead, Mellow Yellow. Go ahead, Mellow Yellow.
Coming up.
Oh, egg yolk.
Oh, egg yolk? What? Coming up.
Mellow Mountain Yellow Duke is better. See what I said about corny? See what I said about corny?
Can we get a better nickname for me?
Egg
seriously?
Yolk.
Well, we need to take a timeout. You know, gentlemen, time flies when you're having fun. You really entertained me this morning because apparently the show's over. So 10 seconds left. Both of you are in South by Southwest being big time stars. So I'm sure Austin, Texas is enjoying seeing the two of yous walk around. I'll talk to you both tomorrow. See you in the morning.